Aleluya, aleluya. Hallelujah. That's right. Claim that hope. Claim that hope. Go ahead. Go ahead. Claim it. Lay hold on it right now. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as or because we have received mercy, we faint not. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of or from us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, and cast down, but not destroyed. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man, it's happening here right now, inward man is renewed day by day. And he uses a Sunday morning service as well as other occasions to renew us. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which we can see are temporal, but the things that we can't see are eternal. And they are absolute. God is an absolute God. And so I preach an absolute message today. I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna make it. That's right. It's because of you, Lord, that we're not fainting. It's because of the mercy you've given us that we do not faint. Thank you, Lord. You will use your word today. God bless you and thank you for standing. You may be seated. This scripture penned by the Apostle Paul about his ministry and life presents us with the truth of at least two of life's realities. One, life will deal us trials, troubles, hardships, and hurts. And number two, life's load will be heavy. Those are nothing new to you. They're not profound. They're not unknown truths, but it's important that they are remembered. Because often when we are hurt or we bear a heavy load, we question and wonder as if those things should not happen to us. But to remind ourselves is good. Life deals us trials. Life's load will be heavy. It's good to remember that because this is life. And hurt and heaviness does occur. And if we can keep that in mind through the Lord's help, it can help us to better handle and respond when those trials and hardships do happen. When we're faced with trials that test our faith and our attitude and test our spiritual strength, what do we do? We will all have to face that question at some point, and many, if not all, already have. We will have to endure the hurt. We'll have to carry the heavy load of pressure at some point. Quite possibly many points in life. So how will we respond? What will we do? Will we come through it victoriously? What we will do is up to us. And what we should do is in the Word of God. The answer is always found in the Word of God. I stand representing this word that is unalterable and it's always true, and it always comes to pass, and it can always be validated. What I as a human or you as a human think or say possibly can be questioned and at times may not be absolute truth. But this word, what we should do in this word is always true. We can apply its principles. We can get a hold of its promises. And they will keep us. And it's on that basis that I use this title today, I'm Gonna Make It. Our making it is not within ourselves alone, but it's within the God who makes us those promises. About 10 to 14 days ago, while in Scotland, in a simple morning prayer time, and it's one of those occasions that was so definite that I could take you to the very spot. We couldn't go down outside, and the weather was very nice. We couldn't go down outside to walk, and many times I'll use that as some times of prayer. The first day I did go downstairs and set off the alarm, not knowing there was one and that it was on. So from then on, we just used the large fellowship area next to the room we were staying in, and you could walk its perimeter and get your steps in and get your prayer time in. But I remember where that step was when the Lord spoke to me specifically about only two of life's challenges to deal with. There are many that could be listed today. But I sensed to address loneliness. God's idea is given as early as in Genesis chapter 2. I know he was talking about Adam and Eve and the marriage relationship, but really you can apply God's principles all across the board. When he said, it's not good that a human be alone. Automatically, we always put that in the context of a marriage and use that. But what if, and I think it's quite true, that God was saying that about every relationship and all of life. It is not good for us to be alone. I would say to you today, the response of the one who is feeling lonely, do not isolate. I pause to let that marinate just a little bit. You are not wrong for feeling lonely, but you would make a mistake to isolate. We have seen it happen to Christian people. I've seen it happen to Christian leaders. You've seen it happen to many in your life. Obey and adopt God's perspective that it is not good for man to be alone. It's hard sometimes to follow God's admonitions. We don't feel like doing the things that his word tells us to do in cases like this. It's easier to isolate when there is loneliness. Don't disobey the will and the word of God. To the one who is lonely, do not isolate. And then I talk to others today. The response of others toward the lonely. I encourage you today, reach out. Love extravagantly. Connect with people no matter where they are or who they are, their strata of life, their race, their conditions. Reach out. There's something for the lonely one to do, but there's also something for the ones who should reach toward the lonely to do. Remember the fourth man that God sent to be with the three Hebrews in the midst of their trial. God will send his spirit and his comfort. And it may be him or it may be somebody else. You are not alone in the midst of your fiery furnace. God is with you and he's able to send somebody to be with you. The second thing that the Lord prompted me to mention today was dealing with heavy life burdens. And he specified that the health issues, physical, emotional, and mental health of loved ones, be it children or extended family members or parents or whoever it should be. These burdens can be very heavy. We can pray for those who are experiencing health issues. We have already in every service, it's been done today. That's more than just a practice that we do. But it's a word from God and it's a command of the Lord, and we're willing to do that, to pray for those that are dealing with health issues, because we know a healer and we know a helper. And I say it that way on purpose. He is able to heal, but sometimes he chooses not to, but he's also able to help when he doesn't heal. God has the right to choose the way he responds to us. God sees the big picture. God sees the bigger picture. God sees the biggest picture. So we pray for those who are experiencing health issues. But it's also important that we pray for and help and encourage those that are giving care. And those of you who have in the past and who presently are, you know. No, you are not whining about it. No, you are not discouraged to the point of giving up on God or people or your loved ones about it. But you know that there is the load of that pressure. So prayer by others of us can come alongside and can pray for. We should pray for the one who has the sickness or the illness, and we should also pray for the caregiver and the one who is caring for them. I want us to pray right now in the midst of this message, and I want you to let the Lord lead you. He's going to take care of this today. And there may be somebody you feel specifically to pray for, but it may just be a prayer in general. But I want us to go deep in our hearts right now, and I want us to lift our faith and try to lift the spirits of those that we will be praying for or with. Let's pray together, church. Now, Lord, we're thankful. And we know that you are the helper and that you are the healer. And I pray now that we are led by the Holy Ghost. Your word talks about praying in the Holy Ghost. I feel your hovering and your covering of your spirit right now. So I pray, O Lord, for those who are facing the emotional, the physical, or the mental health issues. There's nothing too complex for you, Lord. I know the mind is very complex. This human body itself physically is very complex. But there's nothing too hard for you. There's no disease. There's no tumor. There's no condition physically that's too hard for you. And so we pray for those that are in that kind of a life challenge. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And we pray for those that are giving care. I pray for those that are giving care today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give them your strength. Give them your wisdom and decisions that they will make. Thank you, church, for praying. There's a vein right here. Pray on. Something is being tapped in the Holy Ghost. Give them strength, Lord. Give them wisdom, Lord. I pray, God, and I know and I believe you. You see the bigger picture. I pray that you would open doors that we can't open. Issues are able to be solved that we cannot solve. You're able to work on the lives of others that will be involved in those decisions. We pray it now by the Holy Ghost. Oh Lord, we lean not to our own understanding, but we trust in you, oh God. We trust in you, oh Lord. Yes, yes, yes. That's right. There's a current here. Go ahead, church. There's a current here right now. God, God, let that current flow into needs. The water of your word and the water of your spirit can find the places in the dry and the parched areas that need that drink of your wisdom and that need that drink of your spirit. Woo. Pray in the Holy Ghost, folks. Pray. Let your prayer out. Let it out of your spirit and out of your voice and out of your mind and heart. That's right. Don't suppress it. And I'm not talking about volume here. I'm talking about intensity of belief and burden. Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, church. Hallelujah. Whoo. God can do more than we could ever do, and we understand that. Many times he chooses to use our hands or our voice or our prayers to do what we cannot do. Always remember, God is always in control. I know that's a simple statement, but it sure gets cloudy sometimes when all the circumstances start happening, right? God is always. When you and I and when the situations are out of control, God is still in control. When it appears that others, when it appears that the enemy are the ones in control, God is still in control. He's still in control in this world. And I know, and I read headlines today, anti-God headlines, and it's frustrating and somewhat discouraging when men and women take a stand for right and they are called Nazis and communistic and all of the things that are happening around us. But we got to let that dust settle. And we just got to come back to one great truth. God is always in control. In your family, on your job, in your community, wherever it is. Times of pain and heartbreak and weakness and illness and sin are all experienced along the way. Pain and heartbreak. But these can be regarded as defining moments and not defeating moments. We've got to fight and stand true and don't let it defeat you. Let it define you. And I realize where I am today. I know it's much easier to preach this than it is to live this out. But I want to live it out as firmly as I am preaching it. And I look at people who are living this out. But I must tell you, it's an instruction from the Holy Ghost. Let it define you and not defeat you. Our setbacks can be God's setups because he sees the bigger picture. He sees it from his way. His ways are higher than our ways. God isn't at work. Here's what I want. I want God to be at work producing the circumstances I want. But rather, he's at work in those bad circumstances to produce the me he wants. He's at work in those circumstances. Not first of all to produce the circumstance we want or the answer we want. Now he loves us. But it's more important that he gets the me and the you that he wants than that we get the answer that we want. God is more concerned about our character than he is our comfort. And he's concerned about both. But if he has to make a choice, he's saying, I want them saved. I want them saved. And whatever it takes So don't look at your weakness or your trial or your suffering as an enemy. Look at it as a setup and not a setback. Because God is always in control. One line of the song said, I'll keep on trusting that He's working everything for my good. Trust God. Trust God. Trust His wisdom. He knows what's best. Trust His vision because He sees the biggest picture. Trust His word. The songwriter said, He's already said that I would. I'm going to make it. You know, Jesus told the disciples on one side of the lake before they ever launched into the boat or launched into the lake and got into the storm, He said, let us go over to the other side. If they would have thought about it, and I'm not going to point fingers at them now, but really, Jesus had already talked about the other side. So whatever happened between this side and the other side wasn't going to keep them from getting to the other side. And you started having faith in God on this side. And the Lord said, I'm going to take you to the other side. Whatever happens between this side and the other side isn't a big enough storm to keep you out of the will of God and out of heaven. God wouldn't have teased them with the other side statement. He wouldn't have teased you with the promise that He has made to you. You know, please understand what I'm about to say. The promises of God, they are yea and amen. Abraham had a promise that he was going to get a son, and he got him Isaac. And then he gets this word from God, take him up to a mountain and kill him. If he had only been trusting in the promise, his world would have fallen apart. But he trusted in the God who made the promise. Trust in the God who makes the promise. And the promise will come to pass. What God said it. We often feel like we are drowning in the situation and in our emotions. And all of us have been there and done this. On the outside, we appear calm and in control. And on the inside, there's a riptide pulling us under. Into the depths of despair. And I'm thinking of incidents right now. I just appeal to you again. Go to God and then find somebody godly. Don't let the riptide pull you under. I'm going to tell you, those riptides are powerful. And you can't see them. They're there and you can't see them. I just want to say, I realize not everybody is feeling this way at this very moment during this message. But God is giving this word because somebody is. Go to God. Go to somebody. Don't let the riptide carry you under. Here's what He said. Casting all your cares upon Him. For He cares for you. You do the casting. God will do the calming. You do the cast. Just that word literally means to throw it down. Whatever it is that you're carrying, just to cast it. Here it is, God. I have tried with my part, and there is a part for all of us to do. But there comes the time when God wants us, and it's hard for us humans, and especially those of us who want to be in control, there's something very difficult about casting it down, just letting it go. But God put that word in there for a reason. He said, I want you to cast it down because I care for you. The songwriter had it right. He's already said, I'm going to make it. God will speak peace if you will let Him. He will take care of it. That old song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Evidently, the writer had experienced it. Oh, what needless pain we bear. He doesn't deny the pain. He just said, really, it was needless for me to try to carry it by myself. All because, and here's the appeal of the Holy Ghost today, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Trust Him. Take it to Him. Trust His word. I'm going to keep on trusting because we know that He works all things together for good to them that love God. In the midst of your trial and in between your asking and your answer, God will supply and give you the grace and the mercy that you need. When Elijah was hungry, God made sure he made it. Miraculous. Ravens bringing him food. A brook where he could drink from. But then the brook dries up. But God made sure that Elijah was going to make it. He sets him up to go to the city of Zarephath. And of all people, there's a widow woman. And Elijah speaks a word of instruction and faith to her. You know what it was? God was making sure he was going to make it. And when I read those verses again, very definitely, the Lord impressed. He said, you tell the people, God's going to put somebody in their life like I put that widow in Elijah's life. That's going to help you. Stay open to the words of people, and you never know who it's going to be. God's going to put somebody in your life, in your life's pathway, like the widow was in Elijah's. And then God also performed the miracle for both the widow and for Elijah. He's going to do the same thing for us. He is a miracle worker. Paul faced it. Paul faced it. But here's a key for the Apostle Paul and a key for all of us. Paul knew how to receive and accept mercy. You know, in our independence, we have to learn how to receive help. There's something in this independent nature and in this strong human nature. And I don't think we all need to be a bunch of wimps and sissies going around saying, help me, help me, help me. But we also need to learn how to accept grace and mercy from God and from others. He knew how. He said, when I'm weak. There's a lot of folks that wouldn't want anybody to hear that. You mean you're weak? You mean you have weak moments, Apostle? You mean you're struggling? Yeah. Every one of us in this room do. Everybody. And we could either slam the door and bar it shut, stay behind an iron wall and an iron door and not let anybody in, or we can do what the apostle did. He learned how to accept help and mercy and grace. And God told him, my grace is sufficient. Sometimes he gives us just enough. Just enough. And Paul never outgrew. This is a special instruction here. Paul never outgrew his need for God's mercy, nor will we. If anybody thinks they're too strong or too holy for mercy, Paul said it, take heed, be careful lest you would fall. We will always need God's mercy, and it will always be sufficient and enough. Keep your confidence. That songwriter said, he walks beside me. And heaven is in my view. He walks beside me. Hear me, everybody. He's close. You may feel like you're all alone and he's miles away. He's close. Another songwriter said, as close as the mention of his name. And then Jesus himself said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Think with me a minute, church. Think with me. God never promised us a trial-free life. But here's what he did promise. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He promises to be with us. Good times and rejoicing times. But in the deep, dark valley. Underneath the shadow of death. David felt the Holy Ghost and he said, though I walk that way, your rod and your staff, you're close enough to reach me with your staff. You're close enough to prepare a table before me in the presence of any enemy, even through the trials. Would everybody say the word heaven with me? Heaven. And along with saying it, I pray that you would think it and hope it. The writer said, heaven is in my view. I'll make an admission today. I've heard it. People say, you'll end up being so heavenly minded, you're of no earthly good. That has scared off people from the hope. Trying to please the religiously correct and the politically correct, perhaps, around them. There's a reason God put his hope of heaven in the scripture. He wants us to keep it in view. I say to somebody that has walked this trail, some of you for a short time, others of you for a long, long time, keep pressing for heaven. Keep heaven in your view. Keep heaven in your hope. Keep your determination. Keep the faith you have, even if it seems like it's small and like it's failing. Keep heaven in view. And the writer said, when I do that, I'm going to make it. You see, it's not when everything in your life is going great that your trial, that your faith is put on display. It's when you're actually struggling and life is difficult. I want to present to you today a question. Are you the same person during trials? Or is God only good when you are good? One of the greatest testaments to God's goodness is faith that is unwavering. By virtue of our years together, I know who I'm preaching to today in many cases. And I have watched. In some cases, I've been able to be very close, but not as close as God has been, and not knowing as much as you and God know. You tried to take the next step. There was a huge rock that twisted the ankle of your faith. But when I can't walk because of a twisted ankle, come here, Lo. Help me, will you? I can make it. I can make it. I may not on my own. And we will not on our own. Stand with me if you would, please. Flat ground, a little easier. This is a little bit more tentative here. I felt more secure. God's with you. Somebody else is going to be with you. Let's do the casting today. There are needs here. I open this altar. It's time to cast. And Simon Peter did use the word all. Just, we can't handle it on our own. God invites us today. He's inviting. It's not just pastor's voice inviting today. This is the Holy Ghost saying, I'm with you. I want to help you. Will you allow me to help you? Will you allow me to help you? Go ahead. Be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. He's going to lead you how to pray, who to pray for and with. We don't know.